today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, I think everyone's scratching their noggins about this COVID case in Cairns, or that has been in Cairns, has gone off to the Gold Coast. Here's the headline in the Cairns Post: exposure alert for passengers on flight from Cairns. It goes on to say Queensland Health has issued a public health alert and new contact tracing locations in Cairns. A Queensland Health statement issued said it was related to a Jetstar flight from Cairns to Coolangatta. The alert identified passengers in rows 20, 21, 22, 23 and 24 on Jetstar flight JQ967 from Cairns to Coolangatta last Friday from 10:38 a.m. to 12:41 p.m. as close contacts. The casual contacts on the flight are all passengers, excluding rows 20, 21, 22, 23 and 24 from Cairns to Coolangatta on Friday, December 10, from 10:38 a.m. to 12:41 p.m. Exact. It's the same thing all over again. Now, the domestic airport terminal is listed as a low risk, as a low risk for people who were there on Friday from 8:22 through to 10:30 a.m. Does that mean you do go and have a test or not? We'll find out in just a moment. Actually, the gentleman's going to step us through this was really helpful in the early stages when we were all pretty stupid about COVID. And he taught us about CT levels or cyclic threshold levels. He talked to us about genomic sequencing. Remember that lockdown we had for a few days with that marine pilot? So Craig Crawford was the gentleman that came to our assistance and stepped us through it. He's the member for Barron River, but he's across these matters as well. Hello, Craig.
John, good morning.
Sorry to tip you at the deep end again, but this one's confusing, this situation out at the airport. Now, for a start, this is a person from Cairns to the Gold Coast. How did the person come to be infected with the damn thing in Cairns in the first place?
Yeah, look, not really sure. I made some inquiries and obviously health don't want to go too sort of too much into individual cases because of people's privacy. But, you know, at this stage, there is only the airport which is listed as that contact or that exposure site. To answer your question about does everyone need to isolate and get tested, no, they don't. Mm. But certainly if you were at the airport during those times and you do develop symptoms, obviously it's, you know, you just need to be aware of it. So it's more of an FYI for people. You know, airport's a big place, but, you know, what we've certainly found with Delta and with this Omicron is that, you know, it could just be you and you might walk past a person in a corridor and it could jump. But I think the important thing is we're going to see a lot more of this. So I think the message, I think, for Far Northerners is, you know, the border obviously opened at 1 a.m. yesterday. Flights began to land at Cairns yesterday morning at about 8:30 from Sydney and Melbourne. We're going to see more of this. It's just really a matter of being aware of it. You know, cases will pop up. We will see exposure sites. It's not like it used to be, though, because we're pretty much now just about all vaccinated. So it's really now just a matter of knowing where these sites pop up. As we've seen, that the health minister's made the changes that as of the end of the year, you won't have to do the 14-day quarantine if you've been highly exposed. It's only going to be 7 if you're fully vaccinated. So a few sort of things like that. So it's a bit of a new world that we're sort of stepping into now. Mm-hmm. But in relation to that particular case, at the moment, it is only the Cairns Airport. They haven't released any others. I think it's unlikely they will, but we'll see where that goes. But obviously, if you know of anyone that was on that flight in those rows that you mentioned, they certainly need to go and get tested.
Are you feeling more relaxed about COVID now with the Omicron information coming through, intimating that it's not as harsh as the original? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I'm very comfortable with it. You know, in the beginning, obviously, we saw Omicron and we thought, oh, good grief, here we go. You know, it's going to be another Delta. But you know, there is more and more and more evidence and research now that is saying that it is, you know, obviously it's easier to get, but it's going to be less harmful to you. The other thing that we're seeing, and this has certainly been in the last 24 to 48 hours, is the research is in that says if you know, that you need to get your third booster.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're at the 5-month mark, you know, you need to go now as opposed to waiting for the 6. And that third booster will significantly boost your defence to it significantly. So I'm due for mine tomorrow. That's when my 5 months. So I'll be getting in at my earliest opportunity. So I think that's the big message to everyone.
Yes, don't go away. The final sentence in this coverage in the Cairns Post reads: the testing on December 8 found viral fragments at the Cairns North wastewater treatment plant. Traces of COVID have been confirmed in sewage during that routine testing. When these results come back and they say, oh, we found traces, etc., I can't remember even once it having led to an outbreak or discovery of cases. What are your thoughts on that one, that testing, that wastewater testing?
Yeah, like Jeanette Young, when she was the show, she covered this one in lots of detail for us as cabinet members, and someone can still shed the virus for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks after they're no longer positive. So it's difficult, these ones, because it could be someone who has had the virus,
yeah,
who may have had it like a month ago, and has come home or come to Cairns to visit. They're not infectious at all, but they are still, you know, they're still putting the fragments down the toilet. So it's kind of a false positive. So I think looking at the messaging that the new chief health officer was putting out last night, you know, he's very much flagging, you know, that we are going to go into a new era of how we manage this, that we're going to be focusing less on individual cases and more about trends. And I look forward to that. I think that's what we need to see. You know, instead of worrying about individual cases at the Cairns Airport, what we want to be able to see is what is the trend, what's occurring in our part of the world, because that's what I want to see the Chief Health Officer make decisions about when it comes to, do we need to wear masks? Do we need to be in a lockdown? Yeah. Those sorts of things. And doing that a bit better. So I think, you know, watch the words coming from the new show over the next few weeks.
Yes. Just a quick update too. I'm just looking at my screen now. Yarrabarra has got over that 50% mark, double dosed, which is certainly heading in the right direction. It's been very slow. I haven't had a figure today from the Cape. There were some issues up there, I understand, once again. Reluctance, if you like, or whatever you want to call it, but disappointing take-up of the vaccinations. But 52.6% double dose over at Yarrabarra is encouraging.
It is, it is. And, you know, what we found, particularly up in the Torres and Cape area, was that the stats are a little bit misleading, because the base figure that they've been working off hasn't been correct. And I'll give you a good example. You know, they were always working on Aurukun having 1,300 or 1,400 residents. Well, they did a door-to-door assessment of Yarrabarra, and it's only got 900 and something residents. So, you know, when you do stats, it's all about what you divide the number into to get your percentage. So some of those numbers in a lot of those communities have been shifting significantly higher, because there isn't the number of people in the community that everyone thought there was.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is really important. So, but you know, look, it's steady but surely. It is happening. You know, we've just got to continue the positive messaging. It's great to see Yarrabarra, you know, up over the 50. Yeah. I know the mayor and others over there have been doing great work. You know, it's just one by one, just encouraging people to step forward.
All right, Craig, just a quick word too. This high-tech safety boost is the headline Cairns Post last Saturday. Technology station, latest piece of infrastructure designed to improve road safety, manage incidents and reduce unplanned closures of the Karanda Range Road. What's it about?
So I think the easiest thing is to say, if you look at the significant tunnels and bridges down south, so in Brisbane, everyone's driven along those airport tunnels, and people if you've gone to Melbourne, you've driven across the Westgate Bridge and all those big bits of infrastructure. And you see all the cameras and all the monitoring gear on them, and you also see those electronic signs where they can dial the speed limit down to 40 k's or whatever if it's wind or all sorts of things. That's what we're going to put on the Karanda Range. So we're going to really beef up the technology so that main roads in the control centre, which is in Cairns there, can see exactly what's happening. At the moment, there's two things that they can see. They can see, so through the automatic number plate recognition software, so that's that scanner at the bottom and the top, they can see what cars are going on and what cars are coming off the range, and they know how long it's taken them to get from point to point. And they're not, you know, they're not using this to monitor people's speed or anything like that. This is just to just more for data collection. And the other thing they can see is all the Bluetooth devices of mobile phones. They can't see whose phone is who, but they can see that there's phones. So they can use that to sort of get a bit of an idea as to what's happening. So if there's an accident, what they see is a whole heap of Bluetooth devices stop in one spot.
Wow.
What we're going to do is go to the next level now with cameras, monitoring equipment, being able to, you know, having them being able to give more information to motorists and dial the speed limits down when necessary. Mm. So it'll mean that when the road closes because of rock slides or trees down or diesel spills or anything like that, that they'll be able to manage these better. And what I want them to get to is to the point where they can see accidents happen and then be able to, you know, it'd be great to have a response capability at the bottom of the range, a bit like what we do in the tunnels where we can, you know, we can clear the accidents quickly, working with emergency services so that we're not having hours and hours and hours of road closure, where we're having minutes instead.
How do the drivers access that electronic information?
So you won't need to access it. It'll literally be in front of you. So as you'll drive up the range, there will be the so there's obviously the signboards at the bottom and the top at the moment that tell you what's happening if there's any issues. But also it'll mean that as you're going up and down the range, there'll be the speed limit signs will be electronic. So it will mean, you know, it'll sit on, say, 60 k's, which is the speed limit at the moment. But, you know, if you see it flashing and it's saying 40 k's, clearly they're telling you that you need to slow down. And instead of, you know, that might be for the whole section or it could even just be one particular section. So, but the idea being that if main roads, if the control centre can see things as they happen, they can get more details, more intelligence. Mm. They can tell emergency services exactly what's going on the range. Is it a truck? Is it a car? Is it, you know, all those sorts of things. So instead of having a range flooded with fire trucks and ambulances and police cars, They can actually have a better streamlined way of doing it. If you look at the Brisbane Tunnel, if you drive through the Brisbane Tunnel and you stop even just to sort of, you know, check your Facebook or whatever, someone will pull up behind you inside of, less than probably 60 seconds and say, what's wrong? You're broken down, move on, you can't stop here, you know. And if you are broken down, tow truck turns up and boom, you're taken. It's all about keeping the road open and keeping the network running. And that's where we want to get to on the Karanda Range, as quickly as we can so that we can reduce the stoppages and reduce the delays.
But on the Karanda Range, you wouldn't expect someone to arrive in 60 seconds if you've broken down, surely?
Probably not straight away, but if we've got a capability at the bottom of the range, which is what I'd love to get to, that would mean they're there, you know, and being able to get up. It's all about information flow and that's the area that we want to get to. It doesn't resolve, obviously, the broader thing about the range and freight and all those sorts of things. But if we can get that current road just working a bit schmicker than what it currently is, I think that'd be a benefit to everyone.
How far between the signboards, if you like? Are we talking about hundreds of metres or what?
I don't know. It's like that'll be sort of up. Obviously, they're starting to do the early works now, so where they're sort of, you know, putting conduits and those sort of things up. So they're going to build it over the next 12 months. So it should be up and running, before the end of 2022, hopefully. And we'll be able to get a bit of an idea as to what that looks like. I couldn't tell you the distances, no.
Very interesting update today, Craig. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks, John.
Lots of information there on two fronts. Craig Crawford, there, member for Barron River and minister for lots of things. He's got a very big door. News is coming up next.
You can sing someone's praises.